truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, have you ever experienced trouble, tragedy, or hardship? I would guess that all of us have. Unless you're very young or very exceptional, each of us have experienced such things in our lives. Maybe financial loss, maybe betrayal, maybe strained relationships or a divorce, maybe infertility or a miscarriage, maybe sickness, maybe injury, maybe death. There's probably many more that could be mentioned. Suffering is common to the human condition, isn't it? I would guess that even if we would ask some of the people that we envy because of their lives, maybe because of their wealth and power and fame or beauty, they too would tell us that their lives aren't easy. They too experience suffering and trouble. Yes, those things are common to the human experience, and we know the reason why they exist. It's because of sin, isn't it? Because sin has broken our world and broken us. Yet for us as Christians, we have comfort, even in the midst of suffering. We know that we have a God who is all-powerful and who controls all things for our good and that he loves us. Today, as we consider this story of Naomi, we see there God's grace in the midst of tragedy. The story begins today as we hear that Naomi and her family have to leave their hometown of Bethlehem and move to a different country. Can you even imagine that, to have to pull up roots and to move away to a far land, a distant land, where you don't know anybody? Maybe Naomi thought to herself, well, at least I have my husband and my children. At least we're together as a family. Then tragedy strikes as her husband dies. How difficult that must have been for her to lose the love of her life and her life partner. Now what was she going to do? So far away from her homeland, perhaps she thought, at least I have my children. And we hear that those sons grew up and those sons married Moabite women. And maybe Naomi herself thought, now there's hope and a future for me. They're certainly going to bring grandchildren. But then her son dies. It's been said that there's nothing harder to deal with in life than the death of a child. Children aren't supposed to die before their parents. And for Naomi, it wasn't just one, but both sons die. Such tragedy, such hardship for her, and it wasn't just an emotional one, but even a financial one for her. Because back in those days, women very much so relied upon the men in their lives to take care of them, their husband and their sons, if their husband wasn't living. She knew that her life now would be a life of abject poverty. And so she returns home. And those daughter-in-laws want to stay with her, but she tells them to turn back because she has no more sons to give them. She views her own life and future as a complete loss, and she doesn't want to drag those women along with her. She encourages them, I have no more sons to give you, so go back to your father's homes. You have a future, I don't. And she pushes them away. Later on in this chapter, we actually come to understand how Naomi is feeling. As Naomi enters her hometown of Bethlehem, and all of her friends and family are so happy to see her, and they say, it's Naomi, it's been so long. But she tells them, don't call me Naomi, a name that means pleasant. Instead, she tells them to call her Mara, a name that means bitter. She says the reason that they're to call her Mara is because the Lord has made her life bitter. This was a woman of God, one who trusted the Lord as her Savior. And yet because of the things that happened in her life, the tragedy and trouble, she's embittered, perhaps even blaming God for the things that happen. Have you been there in your own life? Maybe as a result of hardship, tragedy, and trouble. Maybe like Naomi, you feel that one was compounded upon the other. Maybe you too have felt that God has embittered your life because of those things that have happened to you. Quite often when we experience tragedy and hardship, a question that arises in our minds is that big question of why? Why would God allow this to happen to me? And it seems like the only answer that makes sense to us is that God must hate us, or at least he doesn't love us enough to take care of us. So we too can be embittered like Naomi was. If you have felt that way in your own life, I want you to know this. God doesn't hate you, but he loves you. God hasn't allowed us to always understand his thoughts and his ways, but he assured us of this, that he does love us no matter what. But how can we be so sure? The Apostle Paul records it for us in Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? And he goes on to assure us that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so in the midst of suffering, we wonder if God loves us. He points us to the cross, doesn't he? He points us to his son, suffering and dying for us on the cross. If we want to know someone who's experienced suffering, we can look to Jesus, can't we? We know he has experienced so much, hasn't he? The one who left his throne on high in heaven with all the glory and honor that came along with it, yet descended to earth to dwell among mortals, to live a life of hardship and struggle. And even as he prayed to the Heavenly Father to take the cup of suffering away from him, what did the Father do? He poured out that cup of suffering fully upon him. As he was arrested and mocked and ridiculed and rejected and ultimately hung up on that cross, as he suffered and died there, there's many in the world that would say, why would God do something like that? Why would he put his son up on the cross? Why would he allow him to suffer? It must be because God hates his son. But we know different, don't we? We know why he allowed his son to suffer. Was because of us. As Isaiah wrote, we thought it was because of God that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. But it was because of our rebellion that he was pierced. He was crushed for the guilt our sins deserved. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You see, God had his son, his beloved and holy and perfect son, Jesus Christ, suffer to save us. Because he knew that was the only way that we could be saved from an eternity in hell. He allowed that suffering to go on for you and for me. Isn't it amazing what God had recorded in his word for us today? To see how God used suffering and even was at work in the midst of suffering. How God displayed his grace to Naomi, to Ruth, and to others. You know, Naomi herself probably didn't fully realize God's grace and everything that he was doing for her at the time, but we can see it, can't we? From an outside perspective, what was God doing? As there was famine that struck her hometown in Bethlehem, and God brought them to a different place, a different location where Elimelech could have work and provide for his family. Though perhaps at the time they were so angry that they had to leave, yet what was God doing? He was providing for them in another way, providing sustenance for them. Has God done the same for you? Maybe at times when you've been so frustrated with God because of the loss of a job or a change in your life, yet was God perhaps finding another way to provide for you? We can think about how Naomi experienced such incredible loss, the death of her husband, the death of her sons, and yet in the midst of it all, he provided these wonderful daughter-in-laws for her, but especially Ruth. Ruth, who was willing to give everything for Naomi. She takes an oath before the one true God that she's willing to be with her and that the only thing that's going to separate the two of them is death itself. She was like an angel sent from heaven to care for Naomi. But it seems like Naomi didn't fully realize all of this in the midst of her grief. It wasn't until later, until the very end of the book of Ruth, where she acknowledges that that Ruth was worth more to her than even seven sons. We think of God's grace, especially for Ruth herself. She would have never heard of the gospel. The good news of salvation, that God is her Savior, the one who has sent his Messiah for her, if it hadn't been for this family coming to her own homeland. As she was brought into their family, as she came to know the one true God, she also came to know the way of salvation through that true God. Furthermore, we see how God provided for Naomi and Ruth, even as they went back to Bethlehem, even as they returned there as widows, how he led this man Boaz to take care of them and to provide for them from his field. And even more than that, how Ruth herself later married Boaz. They had a child together. Well, how much Naomi had lost, but now she had a grandchild to enjoy. But even more than that, that grandchild was, in fact, the grandparent of King David, would come in the line of the Messiah. And we see in this way, God even provided for his plan of salvation. It's quite amazing to see all of it, how God was at work behind the scenes, working all things for good as he provided for the physical needs of Naomi and Ruth, but especially for their spiritual needs and for ours as well. As he took care of them, as he took care of his plan of salvation, to guarantee that they would have a home forever in heaven. Is it so out of the question to think that God can do the same in the midst of the trouble and tragedy in our own lives? That God could also be at work to provide his grace, taking care of our physical and spiritual needs as well? That he has our best intentions in mind, not to give us wealth and prosperity in this world, but to give us an eternity with him in the mansions of heaven. In 1857, there was a terrible rebellion that took place in the country of India, known as the Sepoy Rebellion, which the native Hindu people rose up against the Englishmen that were in that country. And they sought to kill every Englishman they could find, but especially the officers and their families. There was one English officer in particular who was unaware of the threat, and he and his wife were away from their daughter, who was in a town with her Hindu nurse, so many miles away. And as the rebellion got quite fierce in that area, it was very clear to them that their daughter's life was in danger, even though she was so young and so innocent. Thankfully, that officer had a friend, was willing to go and to travel a great distance on horseback to go and to rescue her. And he found the daughter in their home who was being taken care of by that Hindu nurse, and he tore that daughter away from her, and the daughter didn't understand any of it, but he took her and he carried her in his arm and he mounted his horse again. By that time, the people had risen up and they wanted to kill the horse and the rider and the little girl, but he fought them off with a sword while he was holding the little girl in his other hand. It was a very desperate struggle. There was much jostling as he tried to hold that little girl secure, but he made it through the crowd without being harmed himself or the little girl being harmed. And he brought her safely to her parents. Can you imagine the joy that those parents had in receiving their daughter back again, to know that she certainly faced death itself, but this man had been such a hero to bring her back to them? But the little girl couldn't understand it. She couldn't understand how that man in any way could actually be a friend. Because he had treated her so roughly. He had torn her from the arms of the nurse that she loved. He had carried her so roughly on his horse as she was jostled to and fro. She couldn't look at him, let alone thank him. It wasn't until later in her life, till she was an adult, that she came to understand the actions of that man, the actions of one who loved her. And he did all of those things to spare her life. Are we at times maybe like that little girl, that in the midst of tragedy, trouble, difficulty, pain, we can't understand God's ways? He seems so mean and so angry with us, like that man who rescued that little girl. And yet God reassures us in his word. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Even if we can't understand God's ways, why he allows trouble to enter our life, we can be reassured of this. He is working all things together for our good, even when we don't understand it. And his ultimate good for us is to see us one day forever with him in the mansions of heaven. Thank God that he recorded this story in our lesson for today, and really in the entire book of Ruth. The story of trouble, tragedy, hardship. The story in which we see God at work, even in the midst of trouble and difficulty. We see God's grace, don't we, through it all. How he took care of his own, of Naomi and Ruth. How he took care of both their physical needs and especially their spiritual ones as well. That God was at work for their good. May we as well take comfort in this, that God is working all things together for our good, and that he loves us, and that he has shown that love through his Son who had lived and died for us, so that he can bring us one day to be with him forever in heaven. Amen. I invite you to please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.